All right, welcome to this spooky edition.
That's right, it's Halloween. Yeah, what does that mean, Andrew?
It's Reformation Day,
Dawn.
There we go.
Okay.
We redeemed it. But welcome and thanks for listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast. It is Halloween, October 31st, or Reformation Day if you want to be more holy. Any plans, Dawn? Is your family like a classic... Let's lock ourselves in the basement and pray for
we
those heathens.
Pastor exposing.
Hey, us too.
Like the school usually has kind of what they used to call a Hallelujah Night or Candy Planet, so they just have a fun time, and most of the kids get dressed up and come there, and you can do different games, and you come away with loads of candy. I know I grew up going with the pillowcase in our little town.
Door to door,
Door to door. I mean, it was just a lot of just good fun. I know there were, that wasn't what we were talking about.
I know. I was just curious. Yeah, we're doing a big barbecue. Last year we did like a parent pit stop and handed out free food and coffee and tea. And we had a ton of people come by. So we're going to do that again with
our...
Did
you give like cool candies or did you give them a tract?
Yeah, full King James Bibles.
Listen,
you don't
came
want
this year.
You don't want this candy. This is real sweetness for your soul. And then no one comes back. No, no. We have tonight. We're gonna have hamburgers and hot dogs, and coffee, tea, candy for the kids, chips. And just we opened
we're coming
up our,
to your place.
Do it. Swing yeah, 5 o'clock, the barbecue starts.
Look.
One of the guys in our life group is a builder, so he has one of those huge heaters.
Builder?
That's Bob the Builder. Shout out. He has one of those big heaters, so we're just going to blast.
Ooh, nice.
So it'll be nice and toasty warm in our garage. Anyways,
ooh, I like it.
But I grew up the opposite of like Halloween is Satan's birthday, so we all tremble in fear and pray for our heathen neighbors. And now it's funny because my parents are in their 60s now, and they a while ago were like, that was so stupid. They're like, we're so sorry. Like, what were we thinking? Like, literally, my dad would put garbage bags on the front windows, and the rule was like, do not answer the doorbell. Mm. And then all my friends at school are like, hey, Andrew, you going to come trick-or-treating? I'm like, no, I'll be praying for you. But anyways, that's not what today's podcast is about, but it is Halloween. So there you go. Now you know what your pastors are doing tonight. It is actually 3 months to the day since we recorded a podcast.
Really?
At it now. July 31st
Look
was our
out.
Last podcast. So if you are new to listening to this, we take questions in from people and really any question that has to do with the Bible or faith or Christianity, and we try and make it as practical as possible. And so we got a really interesting question. So Dawn, I think you have it. So why don't you?
Someone approached me just a while ago and says, hey, I got a podcast question for you and something he was wrestling with. And many others are, I think, too. But he just says, why didn't God send Jesus long ago? Why did he wait for, so many thousands of years? And is there a point to waiting? You know, like he was saying, Abraham was promised these blessings, and what, the Messiah just didn't come. So he was just wondering, is there a point to that? Or because it sometimes seems could have saved a lot of trouble and heartache if he would have just sent Jesus.
Yeah, I've had it worded like, why didn't God just send Jesus right after Adam and Eve sinned? Like immediately after, like, okay, I fixed it.
Yeah.
Like, why? Yeah, why wait thousands and thousands of years? And I guess what makes it interesting is I'll read this verse. I mean, Galatians 4:4, kind of helps answer the question. I guess we can just, solve the podcast now. There is no answer. Okay, have a good day. No. But Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So Paul says in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come. So like another way you could put that is like at exactly the right time. Like when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. So right on time, not too early, not too late, Jesus came right when he was supposed to. So I guess that doesn't really help answer the question besides say that Jesus, you know, came 2000 and what, however many years ago, and that was the exact perfect time according to Galatians. So but why? Why then, I guess?
Yeah, but in a sense that's, you know, that God, it wasn't just a random thing. He actually has it planned out. So in the fullness of time, it wasn't just, I'm just going to,
you know what? It seems
see
like
what happens. Seems like a good time, but he has had it all figured out. Even though we go like it just seems so random or so maybe pointless or needless.
Yeah.
And so then yeah, we wait because I mean right after Adam and Eve sinned, I mean he promises a Messiah.
Yeah.
And so even in the generations right after, they're all wondering, and even it's kind of indicated that Noah might be that person. Like
sure.
They say, maybe he'll bring us comfort.
Hmm.
Wasn't very comfortable. But in that, God preserved a line to keep the line open for a Messiah. Because if Noah would have fallen with the rest of them, it would have kind of ended the promise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, God just kept that thread open. And even Abraham, he's promised that through him, the seed would come, the people of the world would be blessed, the nations would be blessed. And yet, you know, just shortly after he gives him that promise, he said, but right now you're going to wait for, you know, 400 years, your people are going to be enslaved. And it was just like every time this promise came, it just seemed like now there's going to be a period of waiting. And Israelites come along in the scene and their promise through there too, there would be a savior from the line of Judah, and yet they kind of fall from history in a sense because they failed God, and we're looking at that in the minor prophets,
right?
And they just kind of disappear, and there's this 400 years of silence, and yet there's this hope, like God is still promised he's going to send somebody, and by this time it's like hundreds and hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah.
Past Abraham, and it looks like I don't even know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, did
anymore.
God forget like that when he said that? Yeah, totally.
And then all of a sudden, in Matthew, Luke, there's this exciting news that angels are announcing that he's come, he's coming, and so then there's this excitement that God is going to answer that promise he gave way back in Genesis 3:15. And then that's what Galatians is referring to, that when the time was just right, when it seemed like there's just nothing there, God says, no, I got this under control. I'm sending a Messiah. So,
yeah, and I've heard sometimes like different explanations of people like why that time was just so perfect. But I was reading one author and he said, and I like what, and this is me paraphrasing it, but essentially he said, it's hard enough to figure out what God has revealed to us, so let's not waste our time trying to figure out what he hasn't revealed to us. Because he was like, why right then when the Roman Empire's there? Like, this, like we just don't really. But I've heard people, you know, because the Romans had road systems built, and so then once Jesus came into that, then the early church could travel on the roads, and it helps spread. And maybe, or like
was some benefit to
or like certain things that you go, that could be part of the reason why. But I just appreciated that guy, his words. He said, you know, like let's try and figure out what God has revealed to us, and we don't want to just, and not that it's a waste of time, but like we can speculate till we're dead about why exactly that moment in history. But I think it's good to remember too, like. You know, when Galatians 4 says that, you know, when the fullness of time had come, and then you read in different spots, you know, that God had this planned out even before the fall. Like, even like, so if in Ephesians, right, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So, like, the idea of salvation and us being saved, God had already had that all planned out before Adam and Eve even sinned. And so we have, you know, this great story of redemption. And I think sometimes we think that, you know, human history just kind of goes along and then God shoehorned Jesus in because it kind of fit. And it's like, well, no, all of human history is this amazing story of redemption. Like, it's not our story, it's God's story. We're just in it. And so then when we realize that, then then you start to think, like, man, it's just the story that God wrote and is writing is just beautiful. Hmm. How there's all these promises, and then there's types and shadows, and, you know, Noah is as a type pointing to someone who's going to save, and Moses and Joseph and Jonah and all these things. Then you start to go, man, like, God knows what he's doing. It's pretty beautiful, this story. But if you just think that God just kind of wedged Jesus into human history to save us all, like, so it's good to remind yourself of that perspective, that God had this planned out before he even made anything. And so that you begin to go, man, okay, yeah, the fullness of time, God knew exactly what he was doing, that Jesus came exactly was when he was supposed to, not a day early, not a day late, just right on time, I guess. Yeah. So it kind of gives a good perspective to remind yourself of that. And even now, like, we're in this story of redemption until Jesus returns. And so stuff matters, right? It's not like pointless, I guess. Yeah. God has this all planned out.
That's a good point, because even when the promise of Jesus to come showed up, we're still kind of, in a sense, in this waiting, waiting period. Like, it even still,
right?
The Messiah did come, but we're still going, okay, we're still kind of waiting.
That's a good point, right? Because Genesis 3, God says, I'm going to send someone, and then everyone's like, yeah, when is that going to happen? It's got to be now. And then Jesus leaves, and he says, I'm going to be back soon, in 2,000 years, and every generation has been like, it's got to be now. Like, have you seen how bad it is? It's got to be now. And you're right, it's the same waiting. We have salvation and the Holy Spirit now, but we're waiting for Jesus to return. But it's the same kind of thing. Jesus will return at exactly the moment he's supposed to. Yeah. And but we can kind of go, man, it's got to be soon.
Yes, in Peter, it talks about this waiting. What do we do in the meantime? But it was interesting, like, this person who asked this question, you're not alone. Like, even the prophets of old asked basically the same question.
Hmm.
So 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. So they're basically asking, when is this going to happen?
Yeah.
Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And here's an interesting end to this. It says, things which angels long to look. So the prophets realize that it isn't now. I'm actually doing this to serve future generations. So, I mean, it's just like, no, it's not time yet. But you need to write these things down so that future generations are going to go, wow, these guys predicted this already.
Yeah.
And so again, it reminds them that God is putting the story together. But even the prophets were told, it's not yet. It's just keep serving me, keep doing what I tell you to do, and future generations are going to benefit from what you're writing down. And then it says angels are kind of looking into this whole thing. It's so amazing, so wonderful, that prophets and angels, you know, they're kind of just watching this story play out, and, man, how's it going to get fulfilled and come to an end? It's kind of exciting. But even the prophets of old were told, it's not time yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what you need to tell the people, that future generations are going to read this, and you're serving them. So even their prophets, they're waiting to kind of, how's this all going to unfold? Like, how's this going to work out? Knowing that it is going to, but just told it's not time yet. You're a couple hundred years out of the loop there.
Oh, man.
And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 13. He's telling his disciples, blessed are you who see what you see. And it says, the prophets and righteous men of old long to see what you see.
Right.
And so the disciples were actually those that actually saw the Messiah, the promise of Genesis 3:15, right in front of them.
Yeah.
And so the prophets and the righteous men of old were just longing for that day, like to see the Messiah or hear he's here.
Hmm.
But they had to wait. And now the disciples were those privileged ones that actually saw the Messiah. And that must have been incredible for them because they were, you know, generations of waiting and waiting. Yep. And this is him. Jesus is the Messiah. So that must have been amazing.
Yeah.
Now for us, we're waiting for him to return. I wanted to read too, like, you know, now we're in this holding pattern and waiting. And this is what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. Is that where, yes, starting in verse, well, I'll just start verse 1. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. And it says, for they deliberately overlook the fact. Then he talks about God's sure creation. His word was, it's always been fulfilled and it will be right to the end, including his second coming. But this is where it gets tempting because even though Jesus came, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for him to come. We still see the brokenness around us.
Yeah.
And he says, be careful, because even scoffers are going to say, yeah, right, where is he coming? Like, look at the world we're in. He's not here. He doesn't care. He's not coming back. And we can become discouraged or just lose hope because, man, it doesn't seem like he's coming or acting, and yet he has and is.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I think, even while we're in this waiting, we're told to be careful not to let so-called scoffers discourage us by saying, he's not coming, look at the world. But there is a day, just like Peter said, there is a day, just like the flood happened, just like creation, Jesus will suddenly appear, and then he just exhorts us that, well, verse 8, he said, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So then he says, while you're waiting and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, live lives of holiness and godliness, anticipating he is coming.
Yeah.
And his promise will be kept. So it's just interesting that even his patience is not like ours. Our human patience and runs out, but like, to God, it's all not like that.
Yeah, that's good. Because I think even, so like to that question, we can't really answer it. But, I mean, on one hand, it's comforting to know that the Bible does say that God's timing is perfect with not just the sending of Jesus, but with everything. Like, God, everything happens according to God's timing and his purpose. And so that's one of those, well, we trust. Like, Jesus came when he was supposed to, and it was at the fullness of time. It was exactly when it should happen. And so to even think, like, in our day and age, things happen when they're supposed to, and God's timing is perfect. So on one hand, that's an encouragement from that question to go, okay, well, we don't really have an answer. Like, well, this is definitively why it was. Yeah. But we know that God's timing is perfect. And then, like you said, the encouragement, because we're kind of in this similar, you know, we're 2,000 years out from when Jesus said, I'm going to be back real soon. And we're like, 2,000 years, that doesn't seem soon. But to be reminded, like, that's, I mean, the people in the Old Testament waited thousands of years for the Messiah, and it was exactly when it was supposed to happen. So for us, yeah, we cling to the hope that, like you said, even though you can look around the world and go, really? No, Jesus isn't coming back. He's not in charge. Like, what is happening? To go, no, he is. He's on his throne. He is coming back. And that's the hope, right? That it's going to happen exactly when it should happen. And I know I sometimes selfishly pray, like, oh, would it happen in my generation? That'd be awesome. But if not, God's good. He knows when it's going to happen. Like, so I think that's naturally some of the application that comes out of that that question, that God's timing is just so good. And, you know, it's not rushed. It's not delayed. It's right when it's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just two things. Like Paul says, there's a future glory coming that's not worth comparing to what's happening here. So, I mean, that when it all does come to a conclusion, like it'll blow us away, the glory and the greatness of what's ahead. And then it's just really struck me again in Peter, one of the big reasons God is being patient, or what we would call slow, is that he's being patient, wishing that nobody would perish, but that all should reach repentance. So as we're waiting, not to get discouraged, but one of the main reasons is God is giving his grace.
Yeah.
He wants as many people to turn in repentance to him, because once the final day is here, it's over. And those that refuse Christ, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he just says, like, God is actually being patient so that as many people, and that kind of gives us an exhortation that we're not getting frustrated and just hunkering down till he comes.
Yeah.
We're actually supposed to take the message out and say, you know, there's might be scoffers, but there's also people looking for the answer and to prepare for meeting him. So
well, that's good.
Just, yeah.
Well, hopefully that kind of helped answer the non-answer or just stuff to chew on and think about. Because, like Don said, people have been asking that. It's not just this one person, right? Lots of people are wondering, man, what? Anything to do with God's timing. Like, why? Why now? Why then? Why not right now? So hopefully that was helpful. And again, we'll throw it out like we usually do. If you do have questions that you're going, you know, what about this? Or I've always wondered about this, or this passage, or whatever it is, shoot us an email or a text, and we love to answer your questions. And hopefully we'll be on again soon, faster than 3 months. See you in January. Just kidding. But God bless and have a great weekend.